I'd like to read first of all in John's Gospel and in chapter 1. The Gospel according to John chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'd like to read a final reading in John's Gospel, chapter 20. The Gospel according to John, chapter 20. We're going to read verse 28, John chapter 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. You know, no matter what we do, it is important that we make much of the person of Christ. And first of all, I'm going to prove that today from the Bible, you and I must make much of the person of Christ. Now, for example, in worship, you remember what it says in Luke's Gospel? It says this: they brought him to the Lord, and they presented him to the Lord. You remember what it says about Simeon? It says that Simeon took the child into his arms and he blessed God. So remember, in worship, it's important that you and I make much of the person of Christ. I believe God is the source of worship. I believe Christ is the subject of worship. I believe the Spirit is the strength of our worship. And I believe the sanctuary is the sphere of our worship. But my point this morning is this: in worship, make much of the person of Christ. Now, secondly, in the preaching of the gospel, you and I must make much of the person of Christ. There's one man in the Bible called an evangelist, and his name is Philip. You remember two things said about Philip in Acts chapter 8? It says that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And then it says, Philip went up into the chariot, and he preached unto him Jesus. So whether it be worship, or whether it be the preaching of the gospel, we must make much of the person of Christ. Now what about ministry? When Paul wrote to the Romans, he wrote about Christ and the cross. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote about Christ and the church. When he wrote to the Thessalonians, he wrote about Christ and his coming. So my point today is simply this: whether it be worship, whether it be the preaching of the gospel, whether it be the ministry of God's precious word, we must make much of the person of Christ. So what I'm going to do today, very quickly, I'm going to give you a ministry of Christ. The young Christian today, get this. You and I have four Gospels. And those four Gospels bring before us the person and the work and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to do very quickly today is this. We'll go through the four Gospels and we'll notice how Christ is presented in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Now, let's think of Matthew's Gospel. When I think of Matthew's Gospel, I think about the dignity of the King. When you and I come to Matthew's Gospel, we notice the dignity of the King. Now, look at this. Christ was born a king. Christ lived a king. Christ died a king. And the day is coming when Christ is going to reign as a king. And remember, he's going to be the King of Kings and he's going to be the Lord of Lords. So when I think of Matthew's Gospel, I think about the dignity of the King. When I come to Mark's Gospel, I think about the diligence of the servant. Now notice two things in Mark's Gospel. It's only in Mark's Gospel I read those words. He hath done all things well. He maketh the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. And it's only in Mark's Gospel, throughout the four Gospels, it's only in Mark's Gospel you read about the Lord sitting down on the right hand of God. And remember, Mark's Gospel is the shortest Gospel. There's only one life. It will soon be passed, and it's only what's done for Christ that's going to last. But in Mark's Gospel, you have the diligence of the servant. When I come to Luke's Gospel, I notice the dependence of the man. I read three things about Christ in Luke's Gospel. I read about his private life. I read about his public life. And I read about his prayer life. I read about his private life with God. I read about his public life for God. I read about his prayer life to God. And in Luke's Gospel, it's the dependence of the man. But then when I come to John's Gospel, you know it's the devotion of the son. Just go through John's Gospel and think about the devotion of the son. Listen to one verse. That the world might know that I love the Father. Arise, let us go hence. We read about his love for the Father. Again, I come to John chapter 13. I read a verse like this. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I come to John chapter 12. I read a verse like this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then I come to the end of the Gospel, and time and again I read those words. The disciple whom Jesus loved. So I read about his love for his Father. I read about his love for his own. I read about his love for Martha, for Mary, for Lazarus, and time and again I read the disciple whom Jesus loved. So in Matthew's Gospel, the dignity of the king. Mark's Gospel, the diligence of the servant. Luke's Gospel, the dependence of the man. And John's Gospel, the devotion of the son. Now let's go through the four Gospels once again and notice this. It's always important to notice how a Gospel begins. And it's always important to notice how a Gospel ends. And we're going to go through the four Gospels this morning. And we're going to notice how the Gospels begin. And then we're going to notice how the Gospels end. Now, for example, how does Matthew's Gospel begin? Matthew's Gospel begins with worship. You remember those wise men? When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Ah, but when they saw him, they fell down and they worshipped him. So remember the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel begins with worship. Now I come to Matthew 28. And I read two verses in Matthew 28. Listen to the first one. You remember those women? They held him by the feet. And they worshipped him. And remember at the end of Matthew 28, I read a verse like this. They worshipped him, but some doubted. So remember, Matthew's Gospel begins with the thought of worship. And Matthew's Gospel ends with the thought of worship. Now let's come to Mark's Gospel. How does Mark's Gospel begin? And how does Mark's Gospel end? Now, Mark's Gospel begins with a rent heaven. Mark's Gospel ends with a rent veil. Now come to Mark chapter 1, you read a verse like this. The heavens were opened. The heavens were rent asunder. And the voice from heaven was heard to say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark begins with a rent heaven. But then I come to Mark chapter 15. And I read about the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And Mark's Gospel ends with a rent veil. Let me say this today very quickly. With the heavens being rent asunder, a father is pleased with a son. With the veil rent asunder, God is satisfied with a sacrifice. But Mark begins with a rent heaven, and Mark ends with a rent veil. Come now to Luke's Gospel. How does Luke's Gospel begin? Luke's Gospel begins with a company of people and they think that the Lord is present, but the Lord is absent. You remember Luke's Gospel, chapter 2? They supposed him to be in the company. And there's a company of people that think that the Lord is present, but the Lord is absent. How does Luke's Gospel end? Luke's Gospel ends with a company of people, and they think that the Lord is absent, but the Lord is present. Remember what the two in the road to Emmaus said? Art thou only a stranger? The Lord Jesus Christ present, and they think that he is absent. Now let's come to John's Gospel. How does John's Gospel begin? John's Gospel begins with the thought that Christ is God. Listen to my verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John's Gospel begins with the thought that Christ is God. How does John's Gospel end? What did I read today? The words of Thomas. My Lord and my God. So remember, John's Gospel begins, Christ is God. John's Gospel ends, Christ is God. Now, let's go through the four Gospels again. If I wanted a verse for Matthew's Gospel, my verse would be this. Behold your King. That's my verse for Matthew. If I wanted a verse for Mark's Gospel, my verse would be, behold my servant. If I wanted a verse for Luke, my verse would be, behold the man. And if I wanted a verse for John, my verse would be, behold your God. So, behold your King. Behold my servant. Behold the man. And behold your God. Now, you were all 5 minutes late in coming, so you'll give me 5 minutes overtime. Okay? Nobody's nodding. Right. Christ does everything in John's Gospel. Right? Christ does everything in John's Gospel. Now here's the four things I had for you. Christ knows everything. Christ does everything. Christ is above everything in the Gospel according to John. And Christ is above everything in the Gospel according to John. Now let me touch two things very quickly. Christ knows everything in John's Gospel, and Christ is above everything, is before everything in the Gospel according to John. Young Christian, get this in mind. You know it, but get it in your mind. Christ knows everything I do. Christ sees everything I do. And Christ hears everything I say. And I could prove that very quickly today from the Bible. But let me touch two things in John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, you have the ignorance of men. Now, go through the Gospel and notice the ignorance of men. For example, he was in the world. The world was made by him. But the world knew him not. Twice in John's Gospel I read those words. John the Baptist knew him not. Remember, Mary supposed him to be the gardener. Remember, the two on the road to Emmaus supposed him to be a stranger. Remember, the 11 supposed him to be a spirit. And in John's Gospel, I read about the ignorance of men. But when I turn to John's Gospel, I read about the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen to two verses from John's Gospel. John chapter 2 says this: he knew all men. You remember the words of Peter in John chapter 21? Lord, thou knowest all things. I listen today to the words of the hymn writer. He knew the reason why the Father sent the Son. He knew that he had come to die, a man for men undone. The scourging and the scorn, the worst that men can do, the meaning of the crown of thorns lay open to his view. In John's Gospel, Christ knew everything. But then, in closing, I'm going to go through the Gospel of John, and we're going to notice that Christ is before all. I come to John chapter 1, I read a verse like this, the words of John the Baptist. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So remember, in John chapter 1, he's before John the Baptist. My successor is my superior, for he was my predecessor. He's before John in John chapter 1. And I come to John chapter 8. He's before Abraham. You remember that verse? Before Abraham was, I am. And then I come to John chapter 12, and I notice he's before Isaiah. You remember that verse in John 12? Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him. And then when I come to John chapter 17, I read a verse like this. The glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world in which he made its circuit had begun. Forever was he Son of God, and forever God the Son. So remember, in John's Gospel, Christ knows everything. And remember, in John's Gospel, Christ is before all.